Well, thank you, brother. And that is good singing. There are just two classes of people in the world, you know, those who sing and those who sigh. And sad to say, the majority are sighing. I love the words of the sweet psalmist who said it something like this in Psalms 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. We have done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly shown in the sight of the heathen. Well, it's a real delight to be here. This is my first trip. Hope it won't be my last. Do me a favor. Would you kind of smile? Make it easier for me to talk, okay? Good. So many chapels and places you go to, the people kind of sit there and they look like they've been weaned on a dill pickle. Don't do that. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Some of you have heard me before and you know that I don't believe in putting on. I don't expect me. I forgot the song leader's name, but don't expect me to be him. Try to be him. I couldn't be him if I was to soak in a barrel of bleach. My name is Sam Dalton. That's been my handle for nigh under 60 years. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm simply making a stop in whatever the name of this place is. You know it. Acts chapter 4 is our scripture where we were reading today. And I think of it many times in what is known as our family Bible hour, and I think of what my wife says when she kisses me goodbye. Many times it used to irk me, not so much her kiss, but what she said. She'd say, honey, preach the word, and that just irked me, you know it? Because as I'd walk down the concourse and I'd get to the boarding area, you know, and wait for departure time, I'd get to thinking, now what does she think I'm leaving town for? But my wife knows me. And she knows that if I don't come down the line with the word, man, I'm going to blow it. And I know that too now because I'm convinced of the words of the Christ as recorded in John 15:5. By the way, am I speaking too fast? Now, if I'm going too fast, don't sit there and say, well, wish you'd slow down. Just raise your hand and I'll know what that means and I'll slow down, okay? Because I speak in a lot of schools and prisons and boy, you just give it to them there. Only way to get their attention, but I get in a habit and sometimes I forget and get carried away when we come to the chapel. This is a chapel, right? You spell it C-H-A-P-E-L. You know what it means? Christ hath already purchased every life. The work has been done twice in the preceding meeting. Once we heard it, another time we saw it. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said it. Nobody could say it like him. He said, it is finished. And anything that you add to a finished work is an insult to God. Actually, it's insinuating. You're actually saying, Lord, I know you died on the cross. I know you poured out your life's blood. I know you suffered like none could or would. But let me add my 2-cent work. It was finished by Jesus Christ himself. And that's what thrills me about the word of God. It liveth and abideth forever. No wonder the writer said is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The next verse says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Friend, there is nothing like the word of God. I didn't appreciate it when I was a boy. Well, it's Acts chapter 4. And in the book of Acts, we generally are told that it's the Acts of the Apostles. But in reality, it's the Acts of the indwelling Christ in the Holy Spirit through the Apostles who were simply available. They were abandoned to the Lord. It's the Lord. See, all that Apostles can do, same as all we can do. All we can do is good. All he can do is good. That's the reason, as I was going to say in John 15:5, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, ye can do nothing. That's the reason that the psalmist said, as moved by the Spirit of God, except the Lord build the house, the workmen labor but in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Would you believe me if I stand here and tell you today and you start talking to people and you let them know? Look them dead on their eyeballs, said man, all you can do is goof.
They don't believe that.
But that's a fact. All we can do is goof. All he can do is good. Everything we put our hand on, we ruin it. Unless we're surrendered to him who inside is living in all of his resurrection, life, and power. and then he'll run it. And the only difference in the two words, run, ruin, is the I. But here we are in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Peter, the big fisherman. I like him, don't you? I like Peter. You know why I like Peter? He's very much like people that you'll meet in Pennsylvania, Colorado, Maine, New York, wherever you meet people. He was one of those guys who many times he opened his mouth, he put his foot in it. Spoke and his brains was out of gear. You know anybody like that? Don't point now. But that's the kind of guy Peter was. You know what's so thrilling? That's the kind of people that Jesus came to save. He didn't come to save people who had it all together. The truth is, none have it together. There is none righteous, no, not one. See, the truth is that he came, as we read in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And what constitutes us? What is it that makes us sinners? We were born that way. What is it? In Isaiah, rather Psalms 58:3, we read it this way, the wicked go estranged from the womb, speaking lies as soon as they be born. Now, why was it that we were born sinners? And I like to say it this way. Have fun saying it this way in America. Shake up people saying it this way in America. And I didn't come to shake you up, but I like to just give it straight. Because you see, I got turned off as a boy. I was really turned off on this Christianity because they wasn't giving it straight. Guy stand behind a desk like this, screw some special look on his face and look like he had been weaned on a dill pickle. And then change his voice and all of that foolishness. I know that guy wouldn't like that. Instead of telling the truth, tell it like it is. You know as well as I do, if this beautiful setting was to catch on fire right now, we wouldn't be floundering around for a 35 or a 40 cent adjective. We'd just holler fart and get out of here. And I tell you for sure, man, I wouldn't be trying to get to the door. There's a window there. And it's the same way when you're talking about the Lord. You just simply tell it like it is. You don't have to change your voice. You don't have to put any special look on your face. That's the kind of stuff that turns people off. Don't you know, man, you can't fool a house pet, a cat, or a dog. How you gonna fool people? And so you don't have to. I don't have to come here and try to impress you. I count it a real privilege to be here. It's a delight being here. God ordained it that I would be here. And now I don't have to try to impress you. I'm not even trying to make you laugh. I talk this way all the time. Even at memorial services. If you don't believe that, invite me to yours. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so Peter, here he is. And what is he doing right here in this particular portion? Now, I know, and I'm not going into a great big theological discourse because I believe in study. In fact, as a Christian, I'm working on my AUG. You know what that is, do you not? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And why am I working on my AUG? Because I'm a BA. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. And I'm sure about that. I've trusted the Lord Jesus. But don't stop there. Man, believe what the book says of your union, your identification with Christ. Yield yourself to the Lord. And that'll make you RFA, ready for anything. And if you don't yield, you're RFN, ready for nothing. It's just that simple. We make it so complicated. And so here he is, Peter. But in the first, when I think about this and read this, I'm reminded of how that when the scriptures were first given, they weren't given in verses and chapters. But we have a way of finding, pinpointing it. You don't have to read the whole book. We can say chapter 4, verse so-and-so. And so we come, and Peter's preaching. And the chapter starts, he's preaching through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And friend, that's what got the enemy of souls uptight. Now let me say a word about Peter. I like Peter. I like Peter because he's so much like the fella that I saw when I shaved this morning. He was quick when it came to speaking. He was quick when it came to thinking. He was quick when it came to doing things. And but for the doings of the Lord in his life, he bloated every time. You know anybody like that? May I ask for the second time? Don't be looking around. Do you know anybody like that? Have you ever seen anybody like that when you look in a piece of glass they call a mirror? That's the kind of guy Peter was. But it's so thrilling. That's the kind of people that the Lord is concerned about. And man, I like that. I like that. Now, you wouldn't say Peter was a stinker, would you? You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that, would you, by reading this here? But you know something? You stand in a place like this, and you tell men and women, boys and girls, that Jesus loves stinkers. They want to know where you get it. Scripture, John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 39. Lazarus was dead, had been dead 4 days. According to his sister Martha, he was now stinking. But that didn't shake up Jesus. And why? He loves stinkers, and he's the answer for every stinking situation. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to expose that stinking situation to his father. And that's exactly what he did as a sent one. But friend, we like to tell her that way. Because I meet people tell me, look, man, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I say, but you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Well, I go to church. Well, so what? Just because you push a wheelbarrow through a garage, that don't make it a car, right? Pushing people through buildings where the church meets doesn't make them Christians. A number of months ago, I was in one of the states west of you, and the man was a chicken farmer. And so early Sunday morning, I was all dressed, I had shaved, I had my breakfast, and I got ready early. But he wasn't quite ready. He says, well, if you want to see what's happening, step in the chicken house. So I stepped in the chicken house. He had about 15,000 to 17,000 of those critters in there. They'd lay an egg, and the all was automatic, and the conveyor would just bring the egg down to the front where the handlers were sorted and all of that stuff. I was in the chicken house for 15 to 20 minutes. And when I came out of the chicken house, I smelled just like a chicken. Why, the odor from that place permeated everything I had on. But I wasn't no chicken. You see what I'm talking about? In fact, I went to the place where I was speaking that morning, and nobody would suspect me as a guest speaker smelling like that. In fact, in the north X or the foyer of the church, whatever you want to call it, you know, some man says, you know, I smell something. I said, you know, I do too. And I begin to look around, you know. I don't know whether you ever got it, man. But I said that to say this, man, you can go to these kind of places from now on. That won't do it. You got to trust Jesus Christ. And before you trust Christ, you got to hear the word, because he says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. So I just want you to know what I'm coming from. You see, because my friend, I'm not religious. I used to be religious. I had religion. Oh, I had a lot of Bible verses. I'm very grateful to my mother. And in case you happen to be here 50 and under, and you're not memorizing Bible verses, there's no way that you can really look into the face of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I really love you. Now, you ought to run that through again. I said, in case you happen to be here and you're 50 and under, and you're not memorizing Bible verses, there's no way that you can look into the face of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I really love you. Because he says, John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. 2 verses later, John 14:23, and he said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep or obey my word. It's loving him. Don't say, oh, but you're different. You're the preacher. No different. We're Christians. And when we love them, we obey them. Don't say you don't have time. Don't say what a Christian businessman said to me. I don't have time. And every time I went to his office, he was reading the dull Wall Street Journal. I don't know why they don't use darker ink on the thing. But he was reading that. But he had no time. He wasn't taking time. His priorities were off. You see, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The psalmist could say, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of silver and gold. There's nothing, my friend, like the word of God. W-O-R-D. What our Redeemer declares. And here's Peter preaching. The occasion was a man in the preceding chapter had been healed. Not because of ointment, not because of a hocus pocus, but simply because of the power that's in that name, Jesus. No power, no name like it. And simply because Peter and John were on their way to prayer, they saw this man who had been carried daily and laid there at the gate, whose occupation was begging, He's a wonderful picture of men, women, boys, and girls who are outside of Christ. He was on the broad road which leads to destruction. His occupation is begging. He was in need, and he was impotent. He could not navigate on his own. He just couldn't. And Peter and John saw that man. Peter nailed his eyes on him, so to speak, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He takes him by the right hand, and he gently lifts him, and the Bible says his ankle bones received strength. He stood, he leaped, he began to praise God, and things happened. People begin to gawk. People begin to listen. They had seen him many, many times before, the man who was impotent. And isn't that Bible? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And all things are of God. It's not man. It's not 1% man, 99% God. It's all God. Or even as we read in John 1:13, "Which were born not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but of God." It's a difference when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus. I meet a lot of folks and they tell me, "Well, I'm a Christian," but they don't have any appetite for the Word of God. Jesus says in John 8:47, "He that is of God heareth God's Word." The Holy Spirit says through Peter, the big fisherman, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye've tasted that the Lord is gracious." If you don't have an appetite, something's wrong. Either you don't have life, or as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, "You are so far from God that you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins." It's just that simple. And more, that's where you gotta get it, see. Because, man, there's a whole lot of religious people in our world. A whole lot of religious people in our country. And religion is not the answer. Religion is a drag. And it makes drips. You don't need religion. The Pharisees had religion. The Sadducees, who didn't believe anything. They didn't believe in miracle. They didn't believe in spirit. They didn't believe in resurrection. That's the reason. They were sad, you see. But they had a religion. And sad that they weren't all exterminated, but they got some relatives still living by the thousands all over the place who wouldn't believe fat meat is greasy if you tied a dripping chunk on their forehead. I meet them. I was sharing the other night. I met one on the plane the other day. When the stewardess says, "You care for the cocktail?" And because with my sense of humor, man, I got to talk to it. I don't just say, "Oh, no, thank you, I'm a Christian." I said, "Oh, no, thank you. I'm afraid the feathers may get stuck in my throat." Boy, that got her. She wouldn't even wait on me. Sent the other stewardess to me. And then we get a chance to talk to him, you know, about this wonderful friend who makes breathing on the planet worthwhile. And so here's Peter just raving over Christ. But the occasion was the man had been healed and people stood around. And so Peter, who's quick on the trigger, Peter who had the can't help but in talking, just opening up his mouth. God used that. The Spirit of God used that characteristic of Peter. And now he's standing there, not defending himself. He's standing there, not denying the Lord. He's standing there, not lying. He's standing there, lifting up Christ, who says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And it wasn't enough for them to talk about the death of Christ. He had to come with the capstone, the resurrection. I like that. Lots of people talk about him who died, but I want you to know, my friend, Jesus Christ is alive. God was so pleased with his death in your stead and mine that he stamped his divine approval upon it by raising him from among the dead. And even though many of his people may look like he's still in the tomb, I want you to know Jesus is alive. And he lives in the power of an endless life, and he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I don't longer care about, you know, get it all bent out of shape when somebody says, "Oh, you just a fanatic." I know it. I know how to spell the word, F-A-N-A-T-I-C, friends and neighbors, all trusting in Christ. They didn't say that when I was a sinner, loud, doing my thing, existing and rebelling against God. I become a Christian, get loud about Jesus. And they say, "Be quiet, brother, not so loud." I want you to know, man, I got Bible for being loud. Read it, it's in yours, unless you cut it out. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. That's when I have so much fun on those airplanes. Just go in the restroom. Nobody want to talk? Go in the restroom and just start singing about Jesus. And be ready when you come out. But somebody going to ask you what happened back there. Want to know what happened back there? And then tell them. It didn't happen there. It happened at Calvary. But we were reminded, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. The only one who was fit to live. The Alpha, the Omega. The one that we read about in the Canticles, whose mouth is most sweet, who is altogether lovely. He came here not to live, but to die. And such he did as none could or would. I heard a dear man of God in one of the chapels or halls in the Chicago area years ago said something like this. It's the sweetest story that ever fell from human lips upon human ears. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. How that he was buried. And how he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I'll never forget how he used to emphasize, my friend, salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Cost us nothing, but it cost God all that he had in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, who says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me ask you, don't change the expression on your face at this point. Have you believed? Have you trusted him who finished the work to the satisfaction of a holy, righteous, and sin-hating God? Have you trusted him of whom it alone could be said that as he hung there, suspended on that rugged tree, that Roman gibbet, and of him it alone could be said, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You see, Calvary was no afterthought. It wasn't something that God had to think of after Adam blew it in the Garden of Eden. No, no, it couldn't be that. You know why? I read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That's the reason I love to sing with the Christians. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, or he fashioned them to Adam's clay, you and I were in his thoughts. He knew what we were going to do, and he knew how long we were going to rebel against him. That's the reason I can't thank him enough for saving me, because I rebelled against him. I didn't want him. Mom made us memorize Bible verses, and she took us to meeting. And I was such a square that I ran away from home just before I was 16 years old to get away from all of that. So if I seem like I'm excited, I am. I'm excited because I know who I am. And I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He didn't give me what I deserved. If I had what I deserved, I'd have been in hell a long time ago. I love that song. Preserved by Jesus' wind. Our feet made haste to hell. And there should I have gone. But thou dost all things well. Thy love was great. Thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. I don't even make any excuses anymore for getting excited. People get excited at a game and they say, that's a fan. You get excited about Jesus and they say, oh, he's just too emotional. Man, I used to be a stiff. No emotional anymore. Now, I know what emotion does if it leads to commotion. But friend, you got the word. And it's the word that controls. And so you go by the word. This is the divine love letter from God to us. And so Peter's preaching, and when he makes over the resurrection, they come and lay hands on him. The religious authority, the civil authority, and they threw him in jail. And there in a dungeon, he spends a night. Just a night. They bring him out the next morning, they asked him one simple question. But before that, you know what happened? In spite of the fact that they threw Peter and John in jail, they couldn't lock up the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that was doing the work in the hearts. And the number of the believers came to about 5,000. You can gouge out my eyes. You can stop this tongue, but you can't stop the Spirit of God. The flame shall not hurt thee. It's only designed thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. And so the believers grew because it was a work of the Spirit of God. The people weren't following some personality. No, no. They were convicted and convinced by the Spirit of God, who always testifies of Christ, who glorifies him, who brings all things to our remembrance, whatsoever the Lord has said, who enables us in this pressurized age to be more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. All of that the Spirit of God does. And when we open the book, he it is who enlightens the very eyes of our heart and give us to see what is ours in Christ now, not yonder, but now. That's what the Spirit of God does. He doesn't make goose pimples come up on your body. I like to say, man, if you get goose pimples, lady, if you get goose pimples, you need a sweater. You need a jacket. That, you're just cold. You got a swimming in your head. You need a bromo, a prayer. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You know where that came from, the conversation of the Lord Jesus with that man who came to him by night, Nicodemus. And he goes on to say, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And so it's very clear, you go by the book. When you sow, I'm sure I'm talking to some ladies who sow. When you cook and you're not familiar with the recipe, you go according to the recipe, right? When you sow, you go according to the pattern. My wife sows. It used to irk me that she sold. No more. She saves a lot of money sewing. But it used to irk me because I was always picking up straight pins in my foot when I walked through that room. I always had to go real easy on the couch, be afraid I'd sit on a pin. But the Lord in me can handle those pins now. I can't handle them, but he can handle them. And his wisdom says, feel the thing before you sit out. Book says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But I see my wife cutting out the pattern, and she buys a pattern. Maybe she's sewing for a lady who wears a size 8 or 10 or 12. She doesn't cut it out as but a 20. It wouldn't fit. You got to go according to the pattern. And God said to Moses, see that thou make it according to the pattern which was shown thee in the mount. When you get to chapter 40 of Exodus, you see that Moses, the servant of the Lord, didn't deviate one iota. The Lord said there were to be two tendons under each board, like almost two pegs. He didn't have three. He didn't have one under some and three under another. He tell him about the brass tacks that would hold the outer curtain together. He had them all there. He went according to the pattern. And because he went according to the pattern, when the tabernacle is complete and sets up there, the glory of God filled the place. You know why the glory of God does not rest today upon the average individual or group of individuals redeemed by precious blood? No ifs and ands about it. It's simply because of the departure from the divine pattern. Trying to get our direction from the world that's ripening for judgment. The world that the Bible says passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Doing like Israel many times, who said, we want to be like the other nation. We want a man over us. That's the reason. Go according. Sure, the world going to laugh at you. And they're going to keep on laughing. They laughed at me when I first became a Christian. I didn't know any better. At the steel mill, bow my head over that lunchbox and say a few words to the Lord. And while my head was bowed, my buddy, so to speak, made off with my lunchbox. I didn't know how to handle that. I went and talked to some older Christians about it. They said, Brother Sam, you need to pray more. Pray more? I'm losing my lunch now. And I didn't know any better, so I asked the Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord said, pray with your eyes open and your hand on your lunchbox. And I haven't lost one since. I like the way the Lord does it, don't you? I like the way the Lord communicates. And the first night I prayed that way, a guy said, Dalton, you're not supposed to pray that way. He was just waiting for me. He gave himself away. He was the one who was taking my lunchbox all the time. And now it comes in handy because I speak in prisons quite often and I never close my eyes in prison. Get stripped and won't know who did it. These guys are just waiting for you to come in there naive and close your eyes and play, go through the religious. No, no, you don't do it. Keep your eyes open. They keep theirs open. Wink at them. Wave at them. But tell them about Jesus. Tell of the cross. Tell of the grave where they nailed him. Laid him and tell that he liveth again. And that's what Peter was doing. And so in jail he goes. And the next morning they bring him out of jail and they ask him one simple question. By what power or what name have you done this? And I like this. Because this is the same Peter who denied the Lord. Once he did it with curse words. This is the same Peter who pulled out his sword and intended to split the skull of the servant of the high priest. And the sovereignty of God just allowed it to cut off his ear. And then the Lord reached down and picked up the ear and put it on. This is the same Peter who stood at an enemy's fire. Yes, my friend, it's the same Peter who responded to the invitation of the Lord himself. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, when the Lord came a-walking on the water during the fourth watch of the night, and Peter and the other disciples were, in words of our day, scared stiff. Suppose they had seen a spirit. That's what happens when you get scared. You can't even think straight. How can you see a spirit? They suppose they had seen a spirit. And the Lord said, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It's I. And Peter was the one who spoke out. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. And the Lord simply said to Peter, come, see, O-M-E, children, older ones, middle ages, everyone. He just simply said to Peter, come. He said it in the Gospel of Matthew 2 earlier. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think of another scene in the Bible, so very, very precious. Other than Mount Calvary, I believe it's the most touching scene I ever read. Genesis chapter 45. It's when Joseph makes himself known to his brethren, all the Egyptians commanded to go out, and he says, come near unto me. You got it again, 1 Kings chapter 18. Prophets of Baal had prayed from early morning past midday. Nothing happened. They were so worked up emotionally, the blood had flown because they cut themselves with knives and lancets. And in verse 30, you have Elijah, the man of God. He says to the people, before they did anything, he says, come near. He wanted them to see, and they came near. Ah, friend, the Lord says, come. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, come, he says, just come. You say, what shall I do? He just says, come. See, because it's touching the work, it's already done. Done is the work that saves. It was finished by the Lord Jesus himself. I like the way the Bible says it, do you not? It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified, declared righteous by God, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's the message that we have for a pressurized, sin-sick age in which we live. That's the message that's ours, to not only live, but to give, as we delightfully wait to shout, for he is coming again. And this is a year, no exceptions it is, with all of his pressures, and with now the political election coming up and all of that. Relax, I don't get off on those things. You could put them all in there at the same time, and it wouldn't make it any better, you know. And why? I said, throwing dirt at one another. And anybody who throws dirt, losing ground, right? They ain't got anything positive to say. They're just throwing dirt. You keep that in mind. Mom taught us that years ago. When you point a finger at somebody, three of them pointing back to you. They just losing ground. I don't have to listen to a guy who's talking about somebody else. The only man I want to hear about is the one mediator between God and me and the man, Christ Jesus. Man, he isn't putting it together. He's got it together. And when you're with him, and when you're in him, you're not on the winning side. You're on the side that is already won. Never again will they march him down the streets like public enemy number one. Never again will they spit in his face, pluck his beard, pull the clothes from his back, lay stripes on him, pound spikes through his hands and through his feet. There's a song we sometimes sing in colorful Colorado. Nevermore shall God Jehovah smite the shepherd with the sword. Never again shall cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. On his heart our names are graven. On his shoulders we are born of our God, beloved in Jesus. We can love him in return. Friend, we're on the side that is already won. Now, you may not be enjoying the trip, but you can. Nothing can happen to you as a Christian unless God allows it. Our times are in his hand. What shall we then say to these things of God before us? Who can be against us? Speaking not too long ago at a prison, and a guy said, what would you do if I come up there and slap your face? I said, man, you got to get by my father first. He said, who's your father? I said, God. That blew his mind. People say, aren't you afraid? Afraid of what? Afraid of who? What time I'm afraid, trust in him. Oh, I used to be scared, didn't know any better. Can't miss, because who's on the inside? He can handle it. You know when they came after him? He said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus. He said, I am. And he just fell backwards at his words. He hasn't changed, you know. And just because we're in 1984, that doesn't mean he's changed. That's not just a song, that's a scripture. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Times change. Methods change. He's the same. He saves. He keeps. He satisfies. And as he faithfully promised, he's coming again. Listen to what the book says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Just in case you're down. Just in case you're under it. You need guts. G-U-T-S. God under the situation. But listen to the word. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Well, I know the world is laughing. Guy told me just a few weeks ago, you guys are in the minority. I said, you don't know how to count, man. I said, you see, you count noses. You count heads. I said, put God at the top of the list and then tell me that. We're not with the minority. We're with the majority. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say then to these things is what the writer says. And so that's the reason Peter, in the power of the Holy Spirit, could stand there flat-footed. And when he's asked a question, by what power or what name have you done this? There are no butterflies in his stomach. Let me ask you a question. And don't look at the clock. I know what time to quit. Somebody already told me. 12. I said, is that noon or midnight? You know. And relax. We don't go too long. We don't go over time. Don't. You can relax. You'll be out of here on time then. This is America still. And in America, 59 and a half minutes, and we split. So you just relax. So because the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, right? See, we're real busy on this continent, but when you go to Jamaica and when you go to South America, why, those people, they take 45 minutes to 2 hours to walk to the meeting. And they don't want you talking a half an hour. They're not rested yet. They got to do that walk again. So they want to get rested. So preach on, they say. They want the word, but they also rest and kill two birds at one stone. But we in a hurry. We got to get home. The roast is in the oven, right? If the Lord really wanted to do something, 6 minutes to 12, man, you better do it in a hurry. Or we're going to be gone. We got to want to catch us on the fly. Makes me think of when I was hoboing. In those days, the old steam engines used to take water on the fly. But you see, friend, it's the reality of the Christ who's inside of us. We were singing. Do you remember that song we were singing? Lord Jesus, thou hast died for me, and I have died in thee. Thou art risen, my bands are all untied, and now thou livest in me. That's what you got to believe, man. He's on the inside, and he can handle it. I can't, but he can. We must let him. My English friend says it this way. The Lord Jesus gave himself for us, that he might give himself to us. All we need to do is to let him. So Peter didn't mess around. He gets right to the person. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified. Right away he talks about the person. Right away he talks about his death. And he doesn't stop there. He doesn't leave him in tomb, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I like this. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders. Now, this is me. The Bible didn't say that. I can almost see Peter standing, and he just kind of throw that bony forefinger. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders. Man, where'd this guy get this boldness? Then he goes on to say, there's salvation in none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The writer of the Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The writer from a dungeon at Philippi says, because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let the world laugh. I just pray for him. Because I used to be just as stupid. I used to laugh at them. I used to make fun of the Christians. I don't make fun of them anymore. They're closer to me now than my blood brothers, David and Amos, who are still pressing and pounding a place on the broad road which leads to destruction. And man, we can't miss. We can't miss. We're not only the lights, but we're the salt. Mom said you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can put salt in his oats. That critter go looking for the creek. Just keep pouring on the salt, that's all. And we don't have to bottom line it, so relax. I'm not going to say, now bow your head, close your eyes. We're going to sing 15 stanzas of Just As I Am. Who's going to be the first one come up the aisle? We don't do that. God don't want you to exercise your kneecaps. He wants you to exercise faith in Christ. That's what it's all about. And I'm glad that as a Christian, my business is not in sales. I'm in presentation. I don't have to bottom line it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And if he doesn't do it, it's not done. It's true what Zechariah said. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So just proclaim the word. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You know the song. You don't have to turn to it. I'll just quote it. A couple of stanzas. 386 in the choice hymn books. The writer says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Those words came first from a lady who didn't have a Bible. It came from a lady who had never seen or heard of anybody being raised from the dead. And her boy lay dead on the bed of the man of God. And when she was asked by the servant of the Lord, servant, is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? With a dead boy laying on the bed of the man of God, she said, it is well. That's had to be faith. What about you? Are you looking at the circumstances? Are you looking at conditions or situations? Are you looking to the Christ? You want to be disgusted? Look at me. You want to be distracted? Look in the mirror. You want to be delighted? Do what the Bible says. You can only do this as a Christian. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And then stanza three, I love. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, nailed to his cross. And I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Clean. As a brother closed today in prayer, he mentioned, we stand in the righteousness of God. Man, if that wasn't in the book, it'd blow my mind. That's what it's all about. Do you know him? If not, we'd like to talk to you. That's how simple. It's not feelings. Our feelings are like Pennsylvania weather, subject to change. It's not figuring. Figuring will blow your mind. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, from the middle to the end of the verse, his judgments are unsearchable and his ways past finding out. His faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray.